to let us out a little early since it's tostada night. So we'll see how far we get. Hallelujah. I'm going to surprise you tonight. You're going to turn over to a familiar scripture, but I'm going to surprise you what the Lord is talking to us about tonight. So turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 27. Because of this time of season, I'm sure you're going to think this is about something else. Luke chapter 1 and verse 27. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to God by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed, that means engaged to a man, whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Now remember, that just says considered. It was just a thought she had. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Now Mary asks one question in this whole conversation with Gabriel the angel. She asks this one question: how can this be, since I do not know a man? The biblical sense, that word "know" is relations, sexual relations. How can this be if that's not happened? Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be? And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." And then this was Mary's statement to that whole thing: "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So the Lord was giving Mary one assignment: be a mom. That was her assignment. That was it. That was Mary's assignment: be a mom. That was from the Lord. Be a mom. And was she faithful to that assignment? Why did he pick Mary? She didn't have any experience. I mean, if God came to me as a young girl and said I was going to be a mom of Jesus, of God's son, I would have thought of a lot of great moms. Why not choose her? She's already experienced. She's already a great mom. She already has a great track record. Look at her kids. But God chose Mary, and she was faithful. She would endure ridicule and gossip. It would be difficult when others mocked him, knowing that he was the Son of God. It would be most difficult when he was hung between two thieves. But Mary was going to be a good steward with what God had given to her, his son. She would be a good steward of what God had entrusted into her hands. You know, in these days, girls got married at a very young age. So they were betrothed or engaged at a very young age. When you were engaged in this culture, in the Bible, engagement for a year, not consummated, but engaged for a year. But if you did not want to marry that person, you had to actually give a writing of divorce. You had to get divorced, because engagement meant that that was serious. And then consummation of marriage didn't happen until the marriage. So she was engaged to Joseph, And here she becomes pregnant, and the law calls for stoning. She should have been stoned. And God came to Joseph and said to him what was going on. But let's look at this. In 1 Corinthians 4:2, you can turn there if you want. It's just this one scripture. She was given one assignment. That assignment was to raise God's son, give birth to him, raise God's son. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. If you're found, it means somebody was looking. It might be God looking. It probably is. He's looking. He wants to know if you're going to be faithful with what he's put in your hands. He's not even put, in a way he has, but he has not asked you to raise his son. He's not asked you to raise his son, but he has put something in your hands that he's asking you to be faithful with, to be a good steward of. And if you're a good steward, you must be found faithful. So in Mary's day, the women did not learn scripture. Only the men did, according to their culture, according to history. Women did not learn scripture, but when she went to Elizabeth to visit her cousin, and her cousin, remember, was pregnant with John the Baptist, and John leaped with joy. Actually, some of the Gospels say he was filled with the Holy Spirit within her womb, and that was John, and that was just Mary showing up with Jesus in her womb, and John is in another womb, and he recognizes God just showed up. It's awesome what God can do. So she is there, and this is what she says in Luke 1:46, beginning there. And remember, Mary was not a man or a boy, so she was not privy to learning scripture like the young men were. But this is what was in her heart. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud with the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. This was a girl that somehow knew scripture. So there's not a lot that we know about her parents. We don't even know their names. But I would venture to say they fulfilled their assignment in teaching their daughter scripture. They had no idea what God's assignment was going to be on their daughter's life. But it was what God had entrusted to them. Now I'm sure they had another assignment, but God had entrusted Mary to them. There are things that God and people, things and people that God has entrusted to you. And will he find you faithful? We don't know if Jesus lived at home until he was 30. I hate to think that he did, but I do know he was a carpenter until he was 30. He worked with his stepdad, Joseph. He was a carpenter until he was 30, and then for 3.5 years, he was in ministry. Mary was able to speak into his life. She had that assignment for a long time. So then after the birth of Jesus, look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 22. We're going to start there. This is after the birth of Jesus. Remember, the assignment on her life is to be a mom. Raise the Son of God. That's her assignment. So in Luke 2:22, now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him, speaking of Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. They're bringing the Lord to the Lord. They brought Jesus to the Lord as it is written in the law of the Lord. So she's following instructions. She's doing what God has said to do. Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. In other words, separated. The first is always separated to the Lord. The tithe is the first. It's separated. Anything that's first is separated to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Joseph and Mary were not rich. When turtle doves or pigeons were offered to the Lord, it was because that was affordable. That was affordable for those that were not wealthy. So I want to stop here and say something before we get to Simeon. Simeon was a devout Jew. Many people knew him. They trusted him. The Holy Spirit was on him. He was from the family. The name of the family was the Hasmonean family. And Herod had already killed most of the leaders of the Hasmonean family. So when the Holy Spirit told Simeon what he did, it was giving Simeon hope that he would live until he saw the Messiah, and he could be killed any day by Herod's orders because the other leaders of his family had already been killed. So in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. That's all. He was just a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit can be upon you. You don't need a title. All you need is the Holy Spirit. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And Christ means the anointed one, standing for the Messiah. Only the anointed one would be the Messiah. So he knew he would see him. So he came, now look at this, verse 27. He came by the Spirit into the temple. In other words, there wasn't any reason to be there that day except he came by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant, speaking of him, depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. That's what Simeon said about Jesus. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those sayings, at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against you. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And then there comes someone else into the temple. Her name is Anna. Luke 2:36. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess. Now this tells us what she did. She was a prophetess. The daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Her assignment. She was being faithful to her assignment to fast and pray in the house of the Lord. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him, speaking of Jesus, to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, if you're going to be found faithful, it will be because you are doing what God has asked you to do and how he said to do it. Because not only did Mary do what she was asked to do, but she did it how he said. So there were still some Old Testament laws that they were following because that's all they had until the death and resurrection of Jesus. It was law all up until that time. And then the death and resurrection of Jesus is what freed us from the law. And we have righteousness because of him. So Proverbs 26, you don't have to turn there, but it says, who can find a faithful man? Who can find a faithful man? Turn over to Luke chapter 16. We're going to see the criteria for a faithful man. Who can find a faithful man? What does a faithful person look like? Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your trust? Who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you've not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Let's break this down. Number one, someone that is faithful with the little will be faithful with the much. If you think the little doesn't matter, think again. Because every little thing that God asks you to do matters. Do you remember in the book of Acts when I think it was Ananias and God said to him, go to Straight Street, and he gave him exact directions where he could find Saul of Tarsus and pray for him. Right now he can't see, but you're going to lay hands on him and but Holy Spirit gave him. Now if he would have just said, well, why do I need to go Straight Street? Why can't I just do it my way? Why can't I just go this way? I know a shortcut. Mary could have said the same thing. Well, if this is the Son of God, why do we have to take him to the temple and give him to the Lord when this is the Son of God? She could have thought of her own way. Why don't I just do this however I want to do it? I'm raising him. Right? Don't we do that sometimes with the Lord? The Lord gives us instruction, and then we always try to tweak it and do it our own way. And God's already given us a way. So be faithful in the little, and then you'll be faithful in the much. Someone that is faithful with money, because true riches are people. If you're not faithful with money, you'll never be faithful with people. You won't. If you're not faithful with money, you'll never be faithful with people. Now, let me just tell you, there are two ways you need to be a good steward of your money. First of all, the tithe belongs to the Lord. That's what the word says, the tithe belongs to the Lord. So that's faithful, saying, God, this is yours. It's not even mine. I believe that I can live off the 90% because I'm giving God what belongs to him. My faith is in God will make it work. So it's a faith. It's an act of faith. Secondly, what you do have, what comes in, now you're a good steward with what comes in. So what he's put in your hand, be a good steward of that. Ask the Lord. Don't get overburdened with bills and debt. And I know we've all been there, but if you will be a good steward with what you have, God will see that you're faithful. And if you're faithful with that, you'll be faithful with true riches, which is people, to tell you the truth. Someone that is faithful with another man's business, ministry, things, if they are, they'll be faithful with what God gives them. If you're faithful with another man's ministry, then you'll be faithful if God calls you into ministry. If you will be faithful with a business that belongs to somebody else, God will see that you're faithful and may give you a business if that's what he's calling you to do. If you're faithful with another man's things, God will see that you're faithful, and then he'll give you things. But you've got to show faithfulness. This is the criteria. Who can find a man that is faithful, meaning mankind? Here's one more thing that's very important. In 1 Samuel 16:7, he says, "The Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart." In other words, you can be going through all of the motions. You can. You can go through all of the motions, and yet the motives of your heart are not right. God sees that. Maybe nobody else sees it. Maybe they do and they're not saying anything. But God sees the motives of your heart. Okay, so if they just see that I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm doing this, then this will happen. But I got to do this, this, and this, A, B, and C, and then this will happen. And that's just the way it's going to be. And I'm telling you, you need to look at people, not over people. You have to. Because we could minister here all the time, but if we don't love you, then the Bible says it's just like clanging cymbals. If you don't really love people, then your assignment that he has given you, it's just going to be going through the motions. If he's given you assignment to feed the hungry, let's just pick that one. Given you an assignment to feed the hungry, and you get out there and you just throw food at them. That's not God. Well, I did it. I bought the food. I made it. I took it out there. I avoided the police. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, any police officers in here. But you know, there are some that want to shut things down there. And of course it's for so people don't get hurt. People don't. I'll just stop right there. But the same thing with serving in the nursery, serving God's babies. If you just go in there and you just change diapers and you tell them their story and you put the picture on there, but you're not really paying attention to the children, if you're not really loving them, it doesn't mean anything. You've just been spinning your wheels. You can even be on the worship team, and you can be singing or playing an instrument, and just going through the motions. Okay, we got to do 3 songs, and we got to do them this many times, and then we're done. Okay, good. That's not true worship. And he's looking for those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Even our worship, when the worship team is leading us, and we're just going through the motions. We have all done it, including me. We're just going through the motions. Okay, all right. The songs will be done pretty soon, and then. That's not worship. We're forgetting that we're worshiping him and loving him. If you just eat, you could even raise your kids. And okay, well, I fed them, I cleaned them, I put them in bed, I sent them to school. That's all I have to do. Don't make me talk to them. That's not God. He wants you to pay attention to what's before you. Love the one in front of you. Just love the one in front of you. Don't be trying to climb the ladder or, well, I'm just trying to do this, and I could care less if there's people, but I sure want them there later on, or I sure, no. Just stop what you're doing and pay attention to people, because God sees your heart. He does. Sees your heart. You know, I was talking to Brandy before church. Brandy and her little baby came to church many, many years ago. And I know there was a lot of prayer over you guys and that little baby girl, and that lady, little baby girl is now grown. And we were talking, and Brandy, when I said that God knows exactly where she is And he is going to pull her up out of that mess. That was God speaking. That's God speaking. You see, God wants to do things like that every day, where he speaks into someone's life. Sunday morning, God was talking to Angel, and he just said, tell her she's not a victim. She's not a victim. And I told her that. I'm just thinking, I'll just say what God's saying. And she just begins to cry. I'm telling you, God wants to do that with you. Wherever you're at, he wants to show up. He is looking for the faithful. Will you do what he says and how he says? And even when he says, here's some that are found faithful. Abraham was faithful to worship God. Let me just read this because this was interesting to me. Genesis 14, 18, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I made Abram rich. He wouldn't do it. He worshiped the Lord. He gave offering. He worshiped the Lord. And he did that with all of the nations watching. Everywhere he went, he set up an altar and he worshiped the Lord. And he did it in front of the nations because God needs to be known. People need to see that we worship him, that we follow him, that there is a line that is drawn. I was talking to someone this week, and I just said, I won't go there. I'm not going there. It was actually about meditation and how New Age meditates and how the Eastern religions meditate, and oh, it just calms you down when you do. And this is what I said. I meditate on the word of the Lord day and night. That's the only thing I'm going to meditate on is what God says. Man, there comes a time you draw a line and you don't say, well, if I go over here and do what they're doing, then they can get saved. No, you stay over here and you say, this is better. This is better over here. Come and experience the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Here's another one. Moses was faithful in all of God's house. David was faithful to take care of the sheep and kill the giants, serve King Saul, manage the kingdom, lead the nation to victory in wars, and write psalms of prayer and praise. Nehemiah, the cupbearer, he was faithful to build the wall and accomplished it in 52 days. With a sword in one hand and a hammer in the other. He had an assignment. There's a few others in Nehemiah 13. And I appointed as treasurers over the storehouse. These would be like administrators, treasurers, people that work with the finances of the church. And he said, Shelemiah the priest and Zadok the scribe of the Levites, Pedadiah, and next to them was Hanan, the son of Zakur, the son of Mattaniah, for they were considered faithful, and their task was to distribute to their brethren. Daniel was found faithful, and the Bible says there was no error or fault found in him. Lydia was found faithful by showing hospitality to Paul and Silas in opening her home and giving the ministers a place to stay. Hospitality is showing faithfulness. Paul said to Tychicus that he was a faithful minister of the Lord, and Epaphras, Onesimus, Silvanus, Priscilla, and Aquila in teaching the word of God more accurately. And then here were some women in Luke 8, 1 through 3. Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, so there were 13 men traveling in this ministry team of Jesus. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. These were women that were giving into the ministry team that Jesus had. They gave to them out of their substance. Tabitha was faithful by making coats for the ministry team of Peter. She was raised from the dead. And then Paul said to Timothy, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul said, God counted me faithful. Do you know why? Because we would discount ourselves every time. We would find some reason that we would say, I can't do that. It is not recorded, and so it probably didn't happen, but I've often thought, did Mary ever think, I can't do that? Raise God's son? How could I do that? What if I do it wrong? What if I make a mistake? But God counts us faithful. 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. So Paul is telling this to Pastor Timothy. And he says, and the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Timothy, find the faithful. How will I recognize the faithful? Faithful in little, those that are faithful in little, those that are faithful with money, those that are faithful with someone else's ministry or business or stuff, those that are faithful to do it the way God said and with a heart of love. Timothy, find the faithful. Commit this to them. Timothy, find the faithful. So what will be our reward? Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man will abound with blessings. Psalms 31:23, the Lord preserves the faithful. Luke 19:17, because you were faithful in the little, I will make you ruler over much. Matthew 25:21, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. God is not asking us to do what someone else is doing. He's asking us to be faithful to what he's called us to do. Maybe it's be a mom. Maybe it's clean the church. Maybe it's build this business. Maybe it's be the best husband that you can be. Maybe it's be the best wife you can be. Whatever your assignment is from the Lord, when you stand before God, and we will all stand before him, when you stand before God, he will see if you are faithful. Have you been faithful with his assignment on your life? Have you been faithful? We can all look at it. We can all say we have fallen short. We haven't done everything that he has asked us to do. So let me break it down for you. Are you obeying him today? When the Lord first called us into the ministry, we were a long ways. We were construction, raising babies. I mean, you know, we just living. And going to church and being faithful at church and anything the pastor asked us to do, we did it. We didn't even know we were going into ministry. We just did it. And then when we did know we were going into ministry, we didn't know how to get from A to Z. How do we get from hanging drywall to preaching the Bible, preaching God's word? So when the Lord would lead us to do something in a day, we would do that, whatever it was. Let me just learn to follow the Holy Spirit for me. So then the next day, you know, you're praying and you're seeking God and you're just talking to him, listening to his word. All right, you get an instruction from the Lord. The Lord gives it to you. Sometimes you have to pay attention to what he's saying. And the Lord gives you instruction, then you do that. The next day you do whatever he said that day. And pretty soon, you're already walking that direction. And you don't even realize you're doing it. You're just learning what he's saying to you. Amen. That's how you walk this Christian walk. It's not all hype. We get hyped up at church sometimes. But daily, what the shouting was, or the crying was, or the kneeling was, or the dancing was, however you worship the Lord, whatever happened there, it's because tomorrow you're going to face something and you need his strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So he's given you strength. And so now you have strength and you just move. You just walk. God, you know, God's taking care of this. God's got this. He does. He does have this. He really does know us. He knows how to take care of us. He knows how to lead us. He does a great job. So we're going to be stewards. And we're going to be faithful. Every man that's a steward, every woman that's a steward, God's put something in your hand, either a person, something to do, a thing, but he's given you something, and he's asking you to be faithful with that he's given you to steward. Be faithful with that. And you might think this is such a little thing, it doesn't even matter. Yes, it does. If you'll be faithful in the little, he'll give you much. Some of you, the place that you're at right now is you're faithful to come to church. Some of you are even thinking right now, if I could just get to church. If you'll be faithful in that, you're going to hear God speak to you, and you probably are right now, that he's saying, I've put this in your hand. Will you be faithful with it? Will you be faithful with what I have given you right now? Will you be faithful? I had a teacher in Bible school, and he had an old car that sometimes didn't start. And he was complaining about that car all the time. And God said to him, the minute you stop complaining about this car, I'll be able to bless you with a different one. And he said, he started getting in that car. God, I'm so thankful for this car. I'm so thankful that I have a car. He became faithful with what God had given him. And if we can be faithful with what he's given us, then we'll see these other things come to pass. And it's not a stepping stone. You know, Jesus was not Mary's stepping stone to a bigger and greater ministry. Jesus was her ministry. That was her assignment. Be faithful with him. Raise the Son of God. That was her assignment. And I know we go through different seasons. I did have an assignment on my life to raise my children when they were children. And now that they're not children, I don't have that assignment anymore. I don't say, move over, I'm raising the grandchildren now. It's not my assignment. It's their assignment. So when they were raised, God gave me another assignment. And so there will be different seasons in your life, but ask the Lord, what have you put in my hand right now? And I'll be faithful, and I'll be a good steward of what you've put in my hand. Let's all stand. Thank you, Lord.